time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
Now it's time for our regular catch-up with one of our most important minor parties about the political hot potatoes of today and tomorrow. Today, Alex chatted with ACT's Brooke Van Velden about law and order. Here's that piece now.
Yeah, well, what's really important is that ACT has been out and about in the community over the last few months, and the number one issue that people keep coming back on is crime in the community. Crime is out of control and people don't feel safe on their streets. And we've been seeing so many reports of youth crime in particular. Young people are going around doing these ram raids and doing an awful lot of shoplifting and early theft in an early criminal career. And the ACT Party recognises that we need to have real solutions to stop people getting into a life of crime, and recognising that if you do commit crime, there can be real consequences. So we've released a new policy document, and one of the core elements of this document is putting consequences on minors who do commit offences. And we've been hearing from, in particular, a lot of retail shops, small business owners and dairies who are really struggling, not only just with keeping their businesses afloat, but being safe when they're doing their work. And shoplifting is a huge issue, and petty theft is a huge issue. And one of the issues that we see is that people get away with this type of crime and then recognise that they just then move on to larger forms of crime because there's been no consequence. So we say we'd like to put in place infringement notices, allow police the ability to turn up when there has been a shoplift occur and issue an infringement notice to somebody who might be in the youth justice system and say, on the spot, here is a fine, or here is an issuing that you need to do some community service. It might be that you have to, help out with the local shop.
So the scale of punishment you're looking at is essentially like, say, a parking ticket or a speeding ticket.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the current situation. Anyone under the age of 14 can't be charged with theft. And anyone under the age of 17 just gets a warning on their first offence for shoplifting. And so, you end up having to either have no consequence or go through the criminal justice process as a shop owner and know that maybe in about 6 months' time you might finally get through the court process and there'll be a warning issued. By that stage, the crime that's been committed is so far removed from the actual consequence that there's no real connection for a young person. That's quite a long time period of time. So we're saying that community constables should be able to turn up on the spot, see the evidence of what's happened and issue a small fine to let them know that there's a consequence for their actions, or to work with the particular people and put in place a little bit of a restorative justice. It might be cleaning up the graffiti that's been just tagged on a building. It might be doing some community service, or it might be helping out with that local shop. We need to actually see real consequences right then and there with police working with business and that young person to say that there are consequences for your actions. And I think if we targeted these small petty crimes, we wouldn't see ram raids and larger forms of crime happening from young people who have realised that they can just get away with anything.
Right, so this wouldn't be, say, a conviction against their name. It would be a small, immediate punishment to dissuade them from, in your words, more serious crimes in the future.
That's right. I mean, we recognise that, young people should be given a second chance, and you shouldn't be putting a conviction on people's records when they're children if there is another way of dealing with the problem. But the real issue is that there isn't another way of dealing with the problem currently. So it's recognising that there will be small consequence for small crime in the hope that it would allow people to recognise that there is consequence for your action if you do commit crime. But we don't want to be putting unnecessary criminal convictions on people because ultimately we don't want these people ending up in the justice system long term.
Brooke and I then discussed the aspects of the law and order policy suite which focus on gang-related crime.
Yeah, well, gangs are causing an awful lot of harm in our communities. And one real example is any day that you look at the news, there appears to be another illegal firearm that's being used for a drive-by shooting or a shooting around a neighbourhood, and it's causing a lot of terror. And we know that we have to keep our communities safer. It's not right that we have people who are Ubering door-to-door because they're afraid of walking down their own streets, and that we have people who are just staying at home because they're afraid of getting targeted by gang members. And so we say that we need the ability to hit gangs where it hurts and to stop crime being committed in our streets. And one way that we would do that is to seize gang assets, because the reason why gangs exist is because it's profitable. It is profitable to be in a gang, and they can cause an awful lot of harm. So if they've got all of these lovely assets and it's being through the proceeds of crime, we should be able to seize those assets. And we've recognised that there is a gap in our current law where police can seize assets that's connected with some forms of criminal activity, but criminal activity does not include the discovery of illegal firearms by gang members involved in criminal activity. So we want to broaden that definition and say that if police discover illegal firearms, that would be considered criminal activity, and then the police can seize assets from those gang members. Because it's not right that we've had legal, law-abiding citizens have their guns taken off them when they've not committed any crimes. And yet at the same time, we have gang members going out there shooting up, and they are causing crime, and yet the government can't seize their assets. That's wrong, and we need to tilt that.
There is, particularly with gangs, there's a lot of grey area, right? You know, gangs are, by their nature, illegal organisations. So by that nature, their members are off the books, their incomes are off the books. How does the ACT Party plan to, say, identify a gang member and then identify what are assets obtained by their criminal activity?
Yeah, well, there is already a gang register that exists, and the government does have access to that. But one of the problems that we have is that while the gangs exist and we know the names of particular gang members, we don't have the ability currently, if there is an illegal firearm being used for criminal activity, to seize that illegal firearm. So we need to change the law to allow the government to do that. But another aspect that we don't currently have the ability to do is to really understand where that gang profit is coming from and where that money is coming from, because these people don't pay tax. You know, law-abiding citizens are paying tax every day, and the gangs are getting away with committing crime and paying no tax. So we say that the Inland Revenue Department has currently been given some new powers to be able to investigate the income of some wealthy New Zealanders. Those people have been targeted by the government. And we'd say let's redirect these powers to look into the assets and the income of gang members. And it's not so that we can directly target any individual person, but it's so we have the ability to ask where the gang's money is coming from, where their income is coming from, where they're getting the illegal firearms and the ability to buy those from, so that we can change our tax rules so that we bring gangs into our taxation system. Because I think if you make it unprofitable to be in a gang, it doesn't become a good thing to be part of. What is really driving criminal activity is because it's so profitable.
I suppose my question, I'm sure what many of the listeners are wondering as well, in terms of what is the practicality of this? You know, it's how do you possibly get to the point where you can estimate the income tax that someone who is profiting from illegal activity needs to pay? And you know, I guess I'm wondering as well, though there is a national gang register, it's not something that is easily accessible, and it's not something that is easily able to be extrapolated to other causes. Do you think that, say, this IRD measure is something that is perhaps something more, with more of a long-term view?
Well, I think it seriously would help fight gangs in the short term. I mean, we have to have a short-term and a long-term focus. Short-term, we need to find out where their illegal assets coming from and the abilities when it's connected to criminal activity and also where the income is coming from that makes it so profitable for them and so attractive for young people to join gangs because it's seen as profitable. And it's in some ways quite similar to what's happened with Al Capone over in America. It's the ability to look into assets and see where they are getting the money from so that we can change our own tax system to capture it. And I think, you know, we do need to crack down on gangs. They are causing an awful lot of harm in our communities, an awful lot of illegal gun crime, and they are causing havoc. And we do need to take a serious short-term and long-term approach to make it unprofitable so that these people do not go around terrorising our streets.
That was Alex speaking to Brooke Van Velden in his weekly chat with the ACT Party Deputy Leader.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.